everyone. If my engineer is listening, Luke, please turn the music down. Wow. It's so frustrating. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Gary.
I'm Gary Knoll. We're here to never play that one again, ever. I don't know how that got in the mix. We're here to empower people, give you the latest in information that can make a difference in your life, the latest on health and nutrition. We're going to do that today. I'm going to give you the latest on melatonin, relieving pain, vitamin C, combating dementia. Also today, red wine polyphenols, how it can benefit diabetics, and mushrooms for cancer. Also, we're going to look at lights out. What's it mean when we have lights in the room when we try to sleep? So these all come from peer-reviewed literature, the latest in science, and I'll share those in a moment. Then today, I'm going to open the calls for everyone who would like to call in and share thoughts, questions, comments. It's our talkback segment. It'll follow the health and nutrition and before the guest. And for those of you who have not called in before, we invite you. The number here at WPFW is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. I'll start taking calls in about 10 minutes. Then in the second part of our program, you're going to hear an interview that you have not heard before. I'm going to have Professor Judy Wood on, former professor at Clemson University's Department of Mechanical Engineering, specializing in the research on thermal stress and deformation analysis with optical imaging and biomaterial composition and biomimicry. She is the expert in the United States in the field of interferometrics and optical methods of stress analysis. Now, why is she here and the author of 60 published papers? Because she took the time to actually review 40,000 images and video clips of the World Trade Center collapse. And she is going to give you a really hair-raising analysis of what actually happened, and it's there for you to see. I have reviewed her work methodically. Forensic investigations into how the World Trade Center towers tumbled on 9/11 and the impossible technology involved. I had two gentlemen on yesterday. I apologize for the poor technical quality, but that is unfortunately when people call in, if we're not originating a good connection, then we can only carry what they can, and one had a very soft voice. But Judy Wood has a very strong voice, and she's in Colorado today, and we'll be talking with her in about a half hour. You won't want to miss that. My suggestion is take a moment before she comes on at 3:30 and call a friend, Twitter a friend, and say, Gary Knoll is about to interview someone that we haven't heard, haven't seen, and she's got some revolutionary new material to share about 9/11 that will just blow your mind, and it's fully documented. All right? Now let's begin. First up, vitamin C. We just don't get enough of it in our diet. I wish we did. And this whole notion that eat a good balanced diet and you'll get all the vitamins and minerals you need, it doesn't work. First, because what is a balanced diet? We have gotten to such a stage of maximizing caloric intake with supersized meals and highly dense caloried food like steaks and cream, french fries. Lots of calories, very few nutrients. And of course, then we don't realize that every time we take a medication, there's a high probability that some vitamin in the body will be destroyed by the medication. Think of it this way. Think of the men and women in this audience who are taking in what they think is a right way to prevent a stroke, an aspirin a day. Well, indeed, the scientific literature does support that aspirins thin the blood. And thinning the blood helps keep the red blood cells from aggregating together and hence causing a stroke. So that's half correct. But what about the other half that you're never told? Now, I just had an argument with a board-certified cardiologist, professor of cardiology, just last week in New York City on this very topic. And that is, that same aspirin can kill up to 24,000 people a year because of bleeding in the stomach and the intestine. Also, aspirins destroy vitamin C, folic acid, B6, and B12. And as those go down, homocysteine, which is an inflammatory agent in the body that you can't feel, goes up. As it goes up, you can have everything from arrhythmias and heart disease and heart attacks. So understand the lack of logic. We will do our best to prevent a stroke with an aspirin, but that stroke could actually increase and would increase your risk of a heart attack because of what it does to upset the body chemistry. That's the kind of mindlessness that's gone on long enough, especially since there are things like green juices, vitamin C, vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, cayenne pepper, garlic, onions, all of which will naturally thin the blood without any harmful side effects. So when we talk about, gee whiz, we should be able to get enough of nutrients out of our diet, yeah, if you lived in a completely perfect environment, were not stressed, didn't have outside pollution to impact you, and hadn't made mistakes earlier in life that your biochemistry is not able to correct. Hence, we need it. How much we need is the argument. This is from the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, research done at the Ulm University in Germany. And here's what it says. Vitamin C and beta carotene suggest to combat dementia. Now, the study was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's, and it shows that, quote, our findings suggest an association between vitamin C and beta carotene and dementia. All right, how much vitamin C were they using? They weren't using that much vitamin C. My suggestion then is that we look at how much vitamin C we've been able to use and to help people. 3 years ago, I conducted a human study on lifestyle and behavior modification. To get into the study, you had to have a letter from your physician showing that you had either multiple sclerosis or Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, or ALS. And it was a one-year study. At the end of that 1 year, two things happened. A, we reversed Alzheimer's, advanced Alzheimer's. I'm talking about Charlton Heston end-stage Alzheimer's, Ronald Reagan end-stage Alzheimer's. And we completely reversed in a New Jersey person named Kenny, a plumber, his multiple sclerosis, which was advanced, so advanced that on the first night of the meeting, and we met every week for a year, his wife couldn't help him up the steps to where it was being the meeting was being held. So I went down and got him under, you know, his arm over my shoulder, and his wife got on the other side, and we were able to bring him up the steps. And he was really losing all of his coordination. He was dizzy. And they were actually at a point, his neurologists were at a point when recommending, now's the time that you realize the next stage in the evolution of this multiple sclerosis is wheelchairs and ramps around the house, because otherwise you're going to be falling. And then he said, what I said, well, after that it's bed, where you'll start to lose all your body function, and finally you'll only be able to move your head, possibly. Today's completely normal. Not a single thing's wrong with him. His neurologists say he has remyelinated his sheath. A lot of good things have happened, and we're glad about that. The other is a woman named Marie McGovern. Marie was a instructor at New York University, and she had a background in art history and was a curator and procurer of art for Lloyd's of London. And she was being treated at Columbia University and the Rush Center at New York University for Alzheimer's. And after 3 years, it had only gotten worse, and she was totally disheveled. When she came with an assistant who was there to care for her, she was just, she was unkept. I don't think she had bathed, she said, in 6 months. She went from her bed to her couch. Someone brought her Chinese food every day. Well, look at her now. She's back at her work as teaching classes in art. She takes people on tours and museums. And she even in that period, she had an accident and almost died because of the accident that someone hit her. And still she, but all of her Alzheimer's, her memory, her speech, is reversed. And I took her and introduced her in Washington, D.C. to a group of scientists from around the world where I was a keynote speaker on a separate study. I'd reversed menopause in a group of women, 247 women, all their symptoms, and over a year in lifestyle behavior modification. And so I was invited to present my paper before 7,000 scientists. Instead of presenting that paper, I just brought people who had had these neurological problems, including autism, completely reversed, and a young man named Jonathan Ortega. His parents are two New York City police officers, and a woman who had reverse menopausal symptoms and reverse menopause, and this Marie McGovern. And these people were just blown away. They weren't expecting this. I mean, we're not expecting this kind of improvement, especially if we have the complete full medical documentation before, during, and after to show how it happened. Now, afterwards, hundreds of the scientists in attendance came out to the corridor to talk with these people and ask them what was happening. Not a single one of those 7,000 scientists ever contacted me to ask what were the protocols, could we speak with other people, nothing. So when it comes to helping people with dementia, with Alzheimer's, they're looking now at vitamin C in small doses. I'm looking at vitamin C and about 60 other things in high doses. They're not paying attention to the diet. You go in and take a drug, you can walk right out of the doctor's office taking your Alzheimer's drug and dementia drug, walk across the street to a fast food joint and wolf down, you know, a supersized three patty burger, a milkshake, french fries, and on your way home stop and have a cup of coffee and with sugar in it. Well, those are all pro-inflammatory. And anything that causes inflammation can cause inflammation in the brain. So it doesn't make any sense from my perspective to be able to do that. So anyhow, that's where we're at. So take your vitamin C throughout the day. My suggestion is buffered vitamin C. That means take your vitamin C in a protein shake, maybe five times a day. All you have to do is just maybe 2 to 3 ounces, that's all, of a protein shake and a buffered vitamin C, 1,000, 2,000 milligrams, and see what difference it starts making for your overall health. Next, can melatonin help relieve pain? You bet. Now, we all know that melatonin is a hormone secreted by the pineal gland in the brain. And we use it a lot because it helps with jet lag and insomnia. But it also has a lot of anti-aging benefits that we don't pay attention to. But now it's shown that melatonin can help relieve pain. And we know that half of all doctor office visits are because of pain. So here's what melatonin can do for you and why I believe we should be taking it. First, we're not sure exactly how it works, but then again, we didn't know exactly how aspirin worked for 100 years, but it did. But it affects your endorphins. And your endorphins are your feel-good chemicals in the body. So that's one way it works. And that, hence, the endorphins are our body's painkillers in times of injury or stress. Then it helps turn off or turn down inflammation. And the inflammation, which happens when you eat french fries, hot dogs, hamburgers, you know, those supersized meals, the coffee, the colas, that's how we end up causing inflammation in the first place. Well, melatonin goes right in there and has natural anti-inflammatory properties. It blocks two key enzymes, 5-lipoxygenase and COX-2, that would normally increase inflammation and lead to pain. And it also slows the production of interleukin-6, which is also a powerful pro-inflammatory chemical. And so it does what Celebrex does, but without side effects. Melatonin does a lot. It helps fibromyalgia patients, and it's safe. So some of the reasons why I believe we should be using it. Now, for those of you who have an elevated blood sugar, not good. Those of you who are diabetic or pre-diabetic, really not good. So what can you do? One thing you can do is take in more polyphenols. Grapes have polyphenols. Resveratrol is good. And red wine. And you can even get non-alcohol red wine as well. And that, according to Clinical Nutrition, the peer-reviewed journal, can help stabilize our blood sugar. quote, "In our study, both red wine and dealcoholized red wine improved insulin sensitivity, which together with prior findings suggest that both ethanol and polyphenols are responsible for this beneficial effect." University of Barcelona and University of Valencia in Spain. So just have a grape juice in the morning, pure non-sugared grape juice, organic grape juice. That can help you with your blood sugar. Now, mushrooms also can help you in a very good way. Mushrooms can help boost cancer survival. This is from the peer-reviewed journal Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine. And here is what the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Brown, had to say. Quote, that the compound polysaccharopeptide found in the mushroom could have anti-cancer properties after cancer-suffering dogs given the compound as part of their diet had the longest survival times ever reported for dogs with the disease. And the mushroom is commonly known as Yunzhi mushroom, Yunzhi. It's been used in traditional Chinese medicine for more than 2,000 years, and it boosts the immune system. So, that's important. If you have cancer, or in fact, if you have a dog that has cancer, use that. And finally, this is from the University of Haifa. It says, quote, an international conference has called attention to the dangers of exposure to light at night. Quote, the most important thing for us is to raise awareness of the dangers of artificial light at night, and we have already come to a long understanding that we have to recognize that when we're exposed to light at night, then it adversely affects us. Now, what does this mean? It means that if you have a night light on, if you have the television turned off but there's still glow coming because you haven't unplugged it, if you have a clock, a digital clock of some kind that has a night light in it, if you have maybe you don't have curtains or maybe you have a window shade but there's still light outside, any of these that allow light to protrude will trick the brain into thinking that it's still time to be awake. You need absolute darkness in order for the brain to start to secrete melatonin. For the first hour and a half to 2 hours of sleep is when the most melatonin is secreted, and that protects your body and your brain. That's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Nall. I'd like to open up our lines now for you. Our number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. You're calling in to WPFW. Happy to be here to share information with you, to empower people. And then in a few moments after your calls, we're going to go to my guest, Dr. Judy Wood, and she's going to give us some really important new insights into her forensic investigation on how the World Trade Center towers actually tumbled on 9/11 and the possible technology involved. I'm going to ask Luke, our engineer, to let me know when we have some of our callers up on the line so we can say hello to you. And let's... Dolores. Hi, Dolores. Your turn. Dolores, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
I simply want to welcome you back to the airways. I'm glad to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy to be back. We're all here for one reason, to help WPFW, each in our own way, the listeners by encouraging the management to pay attention to what the audience wants, myself and other producers, to try to bring quality programming that's relevant to people's needs to make the station a place where people automatically tune on and stay tuned so that they know that the station is alive and well and paying attention to the more important needs within our society.
Fantastic. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And for people who may have missed the last 2 years of programming and articles and documentaries and all that we've been doing, and the major causes to stop genetic engineering, close down our nuclear power facilities, stop gas hydrofracking, challenge the logic of their public health policy on vaccines are safe and effective, which we have proven is not the case. You can go to GaryNall.com and download hundreds of articles or any of the previous broadcasts I've been doing every day since and get yourself up to date. Dolores, thank you very much for listening.
Again, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Hi, Marie. Your turn.
Hi. I'm so happy you're back.
Thank you.
I mean, you've been gone too long. I tuned in late Monday. I just had heard you say that you've been 2 years away. I don't know whether you want to repeat maybe a couple of minutes of Monday or not. But it's good to hear you back. I like the topics of politics and medicine.
Well, I believe that social issues cannot be avoided. But I'm not here, nor have I ever been, on PFW or BAI in New York or KPFK in Los Angeles, where I've been total for 35 years, every day, supporting Pacifica, because I support either the Democrats or Republicans. I don't. Anyone who's listened to the show knows I support independent thinking. I believe in ideas, not ideologies. I support free thinkers who are populists in notion, who care about people, not ideologues who are there to sell us on why we should be believing them and trusting them. When I look at the results of what we have achieved, what we've received from trusting them, then I no longer can support them. So I support the independent thinkers and our right to take back power. And each day I will try to present information that challenges the status quo, because right now, I wished it were otherwise, Marie, but what I see is there's only one truth allowed in the media in America, and that is the official truth. So if the AMA still believes that 10 million women every day should take synthetic hormone replacement therapy, then that's an official truth. And official doctors, which is 98% of all doctors, over 900,000 doctors, they must give women that synthetic hormone. The fact that we, the feminists, the health investigators have found that synthetic hormone replacement therapy increases by at least 13% the risk of heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia, and hence is causing at least 1,300,000 women to suffer or die, is irrelevant, because ours is not an official truth. If they say nuclear is safe and effective, it's official. If we say that it's not, and we have scientists like Dr. Helen Collicott and Dr. Vandana Shiva to challenge them, we are not given a forum. So one of the things that I'm so appreciative of to the new management, the program director, the station manager, and the members of the local station board that supported this, is to provide a forum for those of us who are willing to challenge the official position on everything, if it's education or finance or government, whatever it is, so we can have different points of view. Otherwise, what has happened for too long is that those on the left have simply supported the corporate Democratic Party, and that has nothing to resemble FDR's party. And on the other side, the corporate Republican and Conservative Party that has nothing in common with Dwight Eisenhower, the last conservative Republican that really offered something that would help people. So what we have now, no matter who's president, are people who are corporatists, and they pay the bills, including over at MSNBC and other places, so we don't hear the progressive minds. So that's why I'm back here, to try to help PFW in its hour of need. That's why I was here. And now that there's new management, and the management has promised to honor the audience when it comes to pledges, to get them out and not do what they've done in the past, which is the reason I left. So I'm looking at this as a new beginning with new lessons. And most importantly, listen to the audience. The audience will tell you the programming it wants to hear and will support. And so that's where I believe that we're about to see a whole new evolution in thought at this station, and to get back to where we once were, a very viable voice in the greater Washington area, Baltimore and West Virginia and Virginia. We'll get there again. Take a little time, but let's all be patient, and we'll get there. Thank you very much.
I'm going to contribute to this station since you're back.
I appreciate it, Marie. I'm here without salary. I have no financial interest. I'm just here to help the station because I saw under Lou Henkins, a man I have enormous respect for, I saw what the station could be at its best. And I believe that we can get back there and even go a step above. We can become relevant again. And it just takes patience, time, good programming, good management, and most importantly, the support of an audience that knows that it's being listened to and honored. Thank you, Marie. Hi, Chris. Your turn.
Hello?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Great. I got two issues, and I'll work with whatever one you can.
All right.
I have bursitis in my left side that came from playing golf, and it's been bruised and hurting since probably back in February. And I did go ahead and get a cortisone shot about a couple weeks ago, which has eased up the pain. But the doctor also said I have some arthritis in my hips. I'm 58 years old, about 230 pounds, and he said like 5, 10, 15 years I'll probably need hip replacement. And I don't sort of believe that, but I was wondering if there's anything you can tell me that could sort of make that not be an issue.
Well, first, how tall are you?
Say that. I'm 5'10".
Okay, then it wouldn't be your arthritis and hips and knees that I'd be concerned about. It's your heart attack level and your stroke level. And I would suggest that you have a complete pro-inflammatory blood workup done. That means C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, LDL cholesterol, very LDL, or what we call the very low-density lipoprotein fractions. I would also examine human growth hormone and free testosterone, because at that weight, it is not humanly possible, not possible for anyone to be overweight and be healthy. It's not possible. But unfortunately, because the current medical model only sees disease and when it tips into free fall, and that could be a stroke, a heart attack, or a cancer, loss of memory, macular degeneration, cataracts, ulcers, we don't see the process that leads to the tipping. And that's why President Clinton was given a clean bill of health and outstanding health by what is considered the team of the best doctors in America, and 3 weeks later was rushed in for triple bypass surgery to save his life. How did they miss it? Because they didn't look for pro-inflammatory degradation, epithelial destruction, the things that you should have a handle on. Now, that means to me that you've got to detoxify. You've got to not just go on an anti-arthritic protocol. That's easy. High-fiber foods, lots of raw foods, fruits and vegetables, beans and grains, legumes, garlic, all that is good. Nuts and seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, that's all good. Drinking clean water, that's important. Exercising.
Yeah, I drink filtered water, but I have no cholesterol issues. My blood pressure is average like 105 over 80 or 70. There's no history of heart disease in my family. No cholesterol issues. So,
but you can't be that weight and be healthy. You have to understand that the body is flooded with pro-inflammatory cytokines and tumor necrosis factor. You can't see them and you can't feel them, and unless you do a specific blood chemistry analysis, you won't even know they're there. If people only knew how much AFib, fibrillation, an unstable heart, an erratic heartbeat in one of the chambers happens because of elevated homocysteine level. So I'm not going to say have garlic and have vitamin C and choline and lecithin and trimethylglycine. I want to see you do a complete detoxification, A to Z. Now, there are people in the Washington area who can help guide you in that process. I don't have that list with me right now.
No, I have your book that has a listing of local people.
Oh,
so
then good. Then please use that book and get in touch with those people. All right?
One other thing, I have recurring bladder stones that seem to keep popping up. Any thoughts about that?
It's the same. You're dealing with pro-inflammatory. You're dealing with oxalate. You're dealing with excess calcium. That's what happens when your body is out of balance because of the stress of the weight on the heart and the highly acidic body. You need to be highly alkaline. Rather than give you piecemeal bits and pieces of information, I prefer that you have a complete and comprehensive guided protocol from any of the qualified therapists who have a holistic background and yet are qualified and licensed, so that it'll probably take you between 1 to 2 years to do it right.
Okay.
So let's start that journey now. And please keep me in the loop, so every 3 months or so, call in. Let me know how you're doing. And if the therapist you're working with needs any of my protocols, I'm happy to supply it to him, and I do that free with no charge. It's just a public service. We got to run, Chris. All the best to you.
Is your website still active?
Oh, yeah, GaryNall.com.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
All the best. I'm not going to take any more calls right now. We'll be happy to take more calls tomorrow, but let's go over and say hello to my guest standing by. She is Dr. Judy Wood. Nice to have you with us, Dr. Wood. Do we have Dr. Wood on? No? Okay. Then we'll get Dr. Wood on in a moment. Until she gets on, then let's say hello to Walter. Hi, Walter. Your turn. All right, Walter just dropped off. Let me give the number again. Please call WPFW at 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. If you would like to be on and share whatever questions or comments you have, happy to hear you. Dr. Wood is supposed to be calling us, and as soon as she calls us, I'll put her right on. And I have a lot of other things to share with you, but since we haven't taken calls in 2 years, time to take some calls. Let's say hello to Abdur. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Thank you.
All right, you announced the name of a mushroom that's good for cancer, and I missed the spelling of it. I'd like to get it.
Okay. And what kind of cancer do you have?
Prostate.
All right, good. The spelling of the mushroom is Y-U-N-Z-H-I. All right. Good. Thank you. All the best to you. Reining in red meat consumption cuts chronic disease risk and carbon footprint. This is from Science Daily in the British Medical Journal. Here's what it says. Reducing red and processed meat consumption would not only prompt a fall in chronic disease incidence of between 2 and 12%, but our carbon footprint would shrink by 28 million tons a year. Food and drink account for a third of all greenhouse gas emissions attributable, and that's because of livestock, because of our factory farming. And so cows and goats and sheep, they're supposed to eat grass, not grains. And yet we have millions upon millions of acres that are grown each year, genetically engineered, which is not good, to feed to cattle. Now, how smart is it when we give a cow 13 pounds of grain and then you get 1 pound of meat? To grow a potato, you require about 60 gallons of water. To have a hamburger, just a hamburger, it's over 1,000 gallons of water. A quarter pounder, it's 3,000 gallons. And a pound, it's over 12,000 gallons of water. Well, I got a pound and a baked potato. And I got a pound of meat. 60 gallons, 12,000 gallons. That's why it's so important to get rid of the meat. You're not only helping cut the disease rates such as cancer, colorectal cancer, heart disease, prostate cancer, but you're also lowering the carbon footprint because all those animals excrete methane gases, and that's not good. I'm Gary Noll. Let's say hello to Walter. He's back. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Gary. Thank you, first of all, for hearing you back over the radio waves And thank you for your well-researched information. It's very beneficial.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Please turn off your radio in the background.
What?
Walter, please turn off your... I can't hear you if you keep your radio on.
Can you hear me? Just a moment.
All right. Please remember when you call in, if you have the radio on, there's a 7-second delay, so it'll make it difficult.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine now.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a question. What is a deficiency on vitamins, minerals, you know? What do I eat wrong? I have blurry vision and glare. You know, I want to reverse that. And can I eat eggs, organic, free-range eggs, or what? I don't know.
Once again, without knowing all of your background and your biochemistry, the most important single thing you can do is have a comprehensive nutritional profile. And from that, any qualified holistic dietitian, nutritionist, nurse practitioner, physician sitting with you could see where you're deficient. Now, generally speaking, glaucoma, cataracts, and macular degeneration come because of oxidative stress. Now, in my parents' generation, everyone finished a meal, when I grew up, every single person, with coffee and cigarettes. They had sugar in the coffee, and they had cigarettes, and then they had dessert. And generally, it was a processed dessert of cake or pie a la mode, no matter how much we ate at the meal. And I can't imagine how much damage that did to my generation of the secondhand smoke, because everyone in my family smoked, and they smoked 2 to 3 packs a day. That causes oxidative stress in the eyes. If you look at people who smoke or drink, you almost always see this kind of ruddy complexion. You'll see enlarged pores. You'll see broken blood vessels frequently. That's because it's vasoconstrictive. That's not good. So it's very important to be able to undo that damage, whatever the reason of oxidative stress. Eating pro-inflammatory foods, French fries, pizzas, hot dogs, meat, barbecued ribs, fried chicken, all that, coffee, it's all pro-inflammatory. It's also highly acidic. That increases free radicals, and the free radicals then damage different parts of your eye. So when you think of vision, you have to look at every aspect of vision, and that's a problem. So I would start by going on a cleansing program. What do I mean? For the first month, I suggest you start your day by having a glass of fresh-made juice, a simple juice, a juice that helps alkalize the body, purify the blood, celery, cucumber, apple, and lemon, and in that order. And have yourself a 16-ounce glass of juice. Then go for a walk, power walk or jog or bicycling, whatever your body can handle. If you have arthritis or if you're overweight, you can do a jogging in a swimming pool so that you're the weight of the body is not limiting your ability to exercise, because the gravitational balance is in your favor when you're in water. Then after you finish your exercise, you should make sure that you have a good quality protein shake. You can have it from rice or hemp or soy, non-genetically engineered and organic, or split pea. That's your protein. Anywhere from 15 to 30 grams. Then on top of that, make sure you get a teaspoon to a tablespoon of raw organic coconut oil. That's really good for you. Then add in berries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, pomegranate, currants. They're all good for you. And if you have any concentrates of tart cherry, dark tart cherry, Montmorency cherry, or wild blueberry concentrate, you can add that in. Then if you want to super potentize it, throw in a teaspoon of acai powder, goji powder. That'll help. And then put your favorite liquid, rice milk, soy milk, almond milk, cashew milk. Put it in. And then blend it up. Now that's giving you complex carbohydrates. Throw in some walnuts also, a handful of walnuts. It's giving your essential fatty acids. It's giving you your omega-3 fatty acids, and that's helping you. It's turning off inflammation. It's trapping free radicals, and it's allowing you to get the nutrition you need, all from healing nutrients. Then take vitamin C about every 2 hours in buffered form with quercetin. Half the quercetin is vitamin C. So if you took 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, you take 500 milligrams of quercetin. 25 milligrams of B-complex. And that way, throughout the day, your body is starting to rebalance its metabolism. And that's a good thing. And then have your largest meal in the middle of the day. Having starchy vegetables like rutabaga and parsnips and turnips is good. Beans are phenomenal for you. They're really protein powerhouses. Chickpeas, soybeans, just one cup of soybeans gives you 26 grams of protein. And for a lot of people, that's half your total daily requirement of protein. Plus, it's giving you fiber. Try to get about 40 to 50 grams of fiber a day in your diet. Have lots of clean, healthy water. The more hydrated you are up to what your body actually requires, the more lubrication in your joints. The better your tissue facilitates removal of toxins. It also dilutes and thins the blood. So that's all good. And have a small meal, and you could have a nice big salad. You can have seaweed, a grain like quinoa. Red quinoa is delicious. Millet is easy to digest. These are easy to digest, easy to prepare dishes, and you can make whatever sauce you want. And then in the evening, have a small meal. And don't have the meal within 4 hours of going to bed. You might have a light whole grain pasta or a nice, you know, really hearty soup or, you know, a mixed bean salad. You can mix and match your foods. And the good news is starting next week, I'm going to be posting every day a different photograph of a gourmet vegan dish that I've created and photographed online free to help people. So this way you can have an entree or a soup, a salad, a sauce, a dessert. And I want to show you how exciting they can be, how they can look, and how tasty they are. And these have all been tasted, tried, and they're really good. And they're healthy. And they're anti-inflammatory. And that'll be my gift to you. So that's where we start the journey. In almost all cases, when I hear people talk about arthritis and macular degeneration and diabetes and cancer, what they don't appreciate is they're really talking about the same underlying causative factors. Lack of exercise, lack of balance in the diet, of healing nutrients in the diet, alkalizing diet, and raw foods in the diet. And then de-stressing. Because if you do the best possible diet and you're stressed, you secrete cortisol. And cortisol is a problem. It's a really problematic hormone that we secrete when we're stressed. All the best to you, Walter, and let me know how you do. Let's say hello to Pauline. Hi, Pauline. Your turn.
Hi. Thank you, Doctor. How are you today?
Great.
I just wanted to comment. After having years and years of hard times with my weight and my health and everything, I had switched to a almost vegan diet. I do eat fish, but everything you described, I do. I eat seaweed and soy, and I'll tell you all the different benefits I've reaped from it. One thing is, it was funny because I was pretty hefty but strong, and when I stopped eating meat alone, without the caloric intake itself changing, I was like, I went to the store, dropped off 20 pounds, and came home. It was literally just like that easy. And I started feeling better, and they had diagnosed me with gallbladder disease, and then after a couple weeks of eating like that, like it was just a complete turnaround, my doctor did another scan and found that there was absolutely nothing there. And I didn't have to have the surgery. So, and the another thing is that the clean eating, besides weight and physical, is mental, and it helps you with depression, and it helps you with a lot of other things. And I find that in life, when you feel healthier and you're living healthier, your mindset changes as well. And having a history of past, you know, depression too, in bouts, I found the best medicine to be living and eating clean, and exercise definitely. So everything you're saying, you know, I could definitely have a true testimony to that. I just turned 40, and I feel younger than I've ever felt in my life.
Good for you. So,
I do have one question.
Yes.
What is your opinion on whey isolate?
It is a heavily promoted proprietary product. It is fine as a protein, but it's highly allergenic to people who are allergic to milk proteins, not just the inability to digest the milk,
right,
but are actually allergic to the proteins. So therefore, I do not recommend it. Never have had to give it to anyone, and
mm-hmm.
still get great results, because whatever you have in that whey protein, I can give you in hemp protein.
Yes, hemp protein is amazing with the omegas and everything. Oh, yeah.
Even definitely. Better, because it has no allergic factor. Plus, you're getting the essential fatty acids as well. And when people are allergic to food, and the food that we eat most often, like dairy, yeasty foods, refined carbohydrates, eggs, soy products, those are the ones that when we give them up and start to detoxify, we frequently find our weight just drops and we can't figure it out. Was because when you're allergic, the body holds the weight in the form of excess water.
Absolutely.
So that's why we should always go on a cleansing diet to give up what we've been eating, so that our body has a chance to loop it out, cycle it out. Thank you very much, Pauline. I appreciate you calling
in. Thank you for your time.
James. Hi, James. Your turn.
Yes, Gary.
Hi.
Hey, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Listen, I start my day off with a kale smoothie with apple, ginger, carrots, and cinnamon.
I would say good to everything, but not the carrots.
Not the carrots?
No.
Okay. Any particular reason why?
Very high in blood sugar. It has a high glycemic index. It can spike that blood sugar right up.
Okay.
Too much sugar.
Now, what's the... thinking about switching over to spinach sometimes, maybe. Which is more beneficial, kale or spinach?
Kale. You're not going to get the oxalates and the oxalic acid from kale that you're getting from spinach. All right?
So kale is better.
Much better. Yes, it is.
It's better for the kidneys, for the liver, and everything else.
That's correct. And throw in some watercress.
Some watercress. Let me write it down. Okay.
Watercress and lemon.
Okay.
That'll give you a real flush. Thank you, James. We have time for one last call. Let's say hello to Linda. She'll be our last caller today. Hi, Linda.
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm Linda. I have a question and a comment. Glad to have you back. It's been a long 2 years. You're like the Dr. Oz of the radio wave. Second, I have a dog who has a tumor on the side. His vet said it was cancerous. I've been treating it with turmeric, and it kind of kept it, you know, pretty much kind of okay. But I added black seed oil, and it began to grow, and it began to add other little lumps of tissue on top of the tumor. So I wanted your input about the black seed oil, which I thought would really be helpful and synergistic with the turmeric, and B, what else can you suggest that I could give him? He has dry food. I try to give him top-of-the-line dog food. I don't see him, and I'm a vegetarian, so he doesn't get any weird food scraps or anything like that.
Okay, we only have about a minute and a half, but I'll make this as quick. First, go to the library and look up Natural Pet Care. It's out of print now. It's a book I wrote. And in it, look under the cancer chapter. And it shows you actually how to detoxify a dog or a cat or a horse or a ferret. And that's where you begin. You literally have to change the biochemistry, and then you have to have a two-prong approach. First, dealing with the tumor itself, and secondly, repairing the DNA to stop the metastasis or stop the growth. And all that's based upon stimulating the body's immune system. Dogs are like humans. They'll develop cancers and tumors if the immune system has been defected long enough. So you have to build up the immune system. And that's where raw food is very important. And I give my dogs the same drink I drink every morning. I think it's very important. But you should have organic and as much raw as possible. I don't give anything out of a can or box to an animal. They all get, all the animals I have get all fresh organic foods every day. There's certain ones you can't give, but most you can. And then also I would look at the amount of specific anti-cancer, like IP6, indole 3-carbinol, oat beta-glucan, vitamin C, quercetin, cayenne, all anti-carcinogenic. And, of course, curcuminoids at high enough level to make a difference.
And how about the mushroom, the Yunzi mushroom that you mentioned? Would that
yes,
be helpful?
Yes, I would definitely give those with shiitake and maitake defraction, Okay, we're out of time, Linda. Thank you very much for your call. I want to thank all of you for taking your time here on WPFW to listen in. I very much appreciate it. And I look forward to being back tomorrow at 3 o'clock to share more on health and nutrition. Sorry our guest didn't get on today, but if we can get her on tomorrow, we will. Have a nice day, everyone. And remember, keep supporting WPFW. It's a whole new day with a whole new energy.